Well, it's time that we have set aside that we might be able to hear the Word of God, and our brother, as I know, has come prepared that he might be able to deliver those things that God has impressed upon his heart and mind. And I hope and pray that you take the time to listen and to allow the Spirit to work in your life. And I present our brother and our elder, Jerry Case.
I'm pleased to be here with you tonight. Gary was going to be here, and then his plans changed, and he asked me if I could come and take his place. And I truly feel privileged to do so. I think I'm going to start by reading a scripture to you, and then I'll make a few comments. This is out of chapter 13 of the second book of Nephi. My brother Gordon read a little bit out of this morning. He doesn't know this, but my grandson, when you started reading this, he turned around and looked at me and smiled. I didn't even think he was paying attention. He said, "We studied this, Grandpa." And truly we had. Chapter 13, starting with verse 16. And this is in the 13th chapter of the second book of Nephi. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior, down into the water according to his word. Behold, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost. Then can ye speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after that ye have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that you are willing to keep my commandments, by the baptism of water, and have received the baptism of water, and have received the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, and can speak with a new tongue, yea, even with the tongue of angels. And after this should deny me, it would have been better for you that ye had not known me. And I heard a voice from the Father, saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." It's kind of neat the way the Lord makes things happen. I don't know if you noticed. First of all, the thing you wouldn't know. Preparing for this. Preparing for this sermon, I kept having this image of Jesus. And he was standing at the door and knocking. And the words kept coming to my mind that he's calling. And I don't know if you noticed, right before we stood and sang 123, the pianist played softly and tenderly, "Jesus is calling." And then we stood up and we sang, "Oh Jesus, thou art standing." Outside the fast closed door. And talked about him knocking and us asking him to enter. And I want you to have that image because I want you to know that it is that easy. That his intent is toward us from the time we're born. That he's calling. That he's knocking on the door. That he's trying to lead us unto him. As I read this to you out of the 13th chapter of Nephi, It pertains to the time of baptism, when you repent of your sins and you come to that door by which you should enter, that straight and narrow way. But there's a lot of things throughout our life that all point back to our loving God. And the fact that being the same yesterday, today, and forever, that by the power of His Holy Spirit, He constantly tries to make Himself manifest to you as an individual. You know, when I was a kid, I'm sure at first it wasn't this way. Sitting still was the hardest thing on earth for me. My parents would bring me to church, and I just couldn't hardly stand that part of it. I just couldn't sit still. I'd be there forever. And I'd turn around and look at the clock, and, you know, it had been 5 minutes. Sometimes I wonder what kids really mean when at the end of the service they say, "Amen." But I think I understood when I was a kid. But there was a time in my life where I craved it. And I was pretty young. Why did I come to church? You know, we hear a lot that we are to come to church, that we are to meet together often. Well, to be honest, I'm going to say it a different way. I don't believe we simply come to meet together oft. That's a commandment because there's a purpose. There's a purpose. You come and you meet together oft to partake of God's Word, to partake of His Holy Spirit, to receive inspiration to worship God. And I'd get ready and I'd put my clothes on and put my shoes on and we'd get in the car and we'd go to church. And I would think, you know, what's the service going to be like today? And I wasn't thinking, what are they going to preach about? I wasn't thinking about what are we going to cover in Sunday school. I was thinking, what degree of the Spirit of God was going to be there? How was it going to make me feel? Because I was coming to partake, to feast on God's Spirit, and to hear His Word. I heard when our brother Don was preaching, he spoke a little bit about this tongue of angels that's mentioned here. And so I might go ahead and read a little bit out of the 14th chapter because that's one of the questions that came up when Aiden and I were studying this. That back here when it said that, yea, this is the verse 17 of the 13th chapter, it says, yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, and then can we speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. And he asked about this tongue of angels. And so we skipped over to the 14th chapter in the first verse. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after ye have entered in by the way. But behold, why do ye ponder these things in your hearts? Do you not remember that I said unto you that after ye have received the Holy Ghost, ye can speak with the tongue of angels? And now how could you speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. Wherefore now, after that I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, again I say unto you, that if ye will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew unto you all things which ye should do. Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and there will be no more doctrine given until after he has manifested himself unto you in the flesh. And when he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh, the things which he shall say unto you shall ye observe to do. So when we read in this third verse, you know, that you speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, the words of Christ, that's what it is to speak with the tongue of angels. It's because you're able to speak the words of Christ. And yes, there is that opinion that if you receive the Holy Ghost that you're going to speak in a tongue that people don't understand, that it's going to be like often we use the term speaking in tongues to describe, you know, associated with the Holy Ghost, that's what shows that you have the Holy Ghost. And I'm not here to deny. You know, God may make a choice because he's showing somebody something or giving a sign of something. He may choose to deliver it in an unknown tongue and then interpret it for the edification of the church and for the people. But whether it is or not, all this is talking about is that you're able to speak with the tongue of angels by the power of the Holy Ghost because you're speaking the words of Christ. Wherefore, feast on the words of Christ. Really what I'm going to talk about today is the Holy Ghost. Not because I'm going to look up every scripture that has something to do with the Holy Ghost. Not because I feel like I have to fully define it. But tonight I want to inspire your minds and your hearts to think about yourself and your relationship with God. And are you embracing that gift of the Holy Ghost, that way that God associates with man, that he communicates, that he clarifies, that he fills you and guides you even in the tough times? Like it said here in the 14th chapter, that the Holy Ghost would guide you in all things that you should do. So let me turn over next. I want to go to Nephi, the third chapter. This is 1 Nephi, third chapter. I'm going to start with verse 63. Verse 63 says, "Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw?" And this is speaking of to Nephi concerning his vision, which was the same as his father's vision, Lehi. And I believe he was even shown more, if I remember right. And in that vision, he saw the tree, this tree which is speaking of. And it says, "Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw?" And I answered him, saying, "Yea, it is the love of God, which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of man. Wherefore, it is the most desirable above all other things." And I would actually skip somewhere else real quick. Keep your finger right there in the Book of Mormon. Let's go over to Romans. And it's Romans, the fifth chapter. I'm going to start with the first verse and just read maybe I'll read through the fifth verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access, by faith, into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And I thought it was good to read that with this, because it says, when we talk about that tree, we talk about the love of God and that it's shed abroad in the hearts of the children of men. It's by the Holy Ghost that this takes place. Wherefore, it is the most desirable above all things. And he spake unto me, saying, yea, and the most joyous to the soul. I was reading verse 64 and 65 back there in the first book of Nephi. So, by the Holy Ghost, we have access to this love of God that's the most desirable above all things and the most joyous to the soul. And after that he said these words, he said unto me, look, and I looked, and I beheld the Son of God going forth among the children of men. And I saw many fall down at his feet and worship him. And it came to pass that I beheld that the rod of iron which my father had seen was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God. And I also beheld that the tree of life was a representation of the love of God. And the angel said unto me again, look, and behold the condescensions of God. And I looked and beheld the Redeemer of the world, of which my father had spoken. And I also beheld the prophet which should prepare the way before him. And the Lamb of God went forth and was baptized of him. And after that he was baptized, I beheld the heavens open, and the Holy Ghost came down out of heaven and abode upon him in the form of a dove. And I beheld that he went forth ministering unto the people in power and great glory. And the multitudes were gathered together to hear him. So we see that, you know, here, even 600 years before Christ was born, it was already prophesied that he would lead us, that he would go first. He would lead us into the waters of baptism, that he would show us that that he was willing to humble himself and show his Father that he would keep his commandments to fulfill all righteousness. One of the things that we talked about when we were studying this, Aiden and I, was the fact that the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. Jesus Christ, our example, that was showing us how and what was happening. We don't necessarily see the Holy Spirit descend in the form of a dove when someone's baptized. But what happens is just as real. With Christ, he was showing the way. With Christ, it was visible. He gave a representation so that people could actually know that this took place. So they saw the Holy Spirit come down upon him and abide with him in the form of a dove. I'd like to go to Moroni, 7th chapter. And the 50th verse, page 768. And if a man be meek and lowly of heart, and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love, which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure. Amen. And here is talking about this charity, this pure love of God, and love. This pure love of God. This is the thing that is most joyous to our soul. And it says that we're supposed to pray for it because it's a gift. It's not something you generate within yourself. It's not something that's of man. Let me turn over to Galatians, the 5th chapter. I know I'm hopping around a lot. Galatians, the 5th chapter. I'm going to start with the 16th verse. Of this 5th chapter of Galatians. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the... No, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And then it talks about the works of the flesh, and it kind of writes out many of the works of the flesh. And then it goes back to talk about the works of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, on verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, and envying one another. As I read through this, I'm really trying to say a few simple things and probably reading too many words. Well, but to emphasize, the Holy Spirit interact with us a couple different ways, and I could divide it like once you're baptized and before you're baptized. And I want to emphasize by going to Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the fact that the Holy Spirit does work with you before you're baptized. I'm on chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. And you know for yourselves, you did not come to baptism before you could confess that Jesus was Christ. The Holy Spirit was beckoning you. It had been beckoning you for years, no doubt. I had experiences even as a young child where the Holy Spirit was calling, was knocking, trying to lead me in the course of life that was for the welfare of my soul. And I've tried to follow. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. I remember a time that was actually kind of a time of struggle for me. A time when I prayed and I would end up praying into the night. Because for some reason I just felt like I couldn't get my prayer above the ceiling. He couldn't hear me. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Part of what was going on in my heart too was that it was around the time of my baptism. But I was struggling. And I would pray, and I would pray, and he just couldn't hear me. At least that's what it felt like. And I have to tell you, when this was going on, I was 10 years old. And one night I fell asleep in exhaustion. I was up way late praying again. And it seemed like I hadn't any more than fallen asleep when I was wakened. I don't think by a sound, but there was a light in my room. It was like just a little pinpoint of light, and it was like floating in the air. And as soon as I turned to see what light, where this light was coming from, and look at this point of light, it just went right out the door of my bedroom. And so I got up, and I followed it. And it went down the hall, and it went into the living room. And in the living room, this all seems beside the point, but it's the detail. I went into the living room, and my parents have these three big double-hung windows. They call it a three-window mole unit, I think. And the center window just lifted, maybe that far, and banged. Just slammed down three times. And I remember that it kind of impressed me like a judge's gavel or something. And afterwards I heard this voice, and it said my name, and said, "I have heard your prayers and answered them." And I didn't have trouble anymore, because I knew he heard me. And so when I read you those first verses and I talked about following Jesus with full intent of heart. I want to emphasize the full intent of heart. You know, Aiden came to talk to me. He wanted me to start teaching him about baptism. And he said something so profound. I said, "Why do you want to study baptism?" And he said, "Because I want to lay down my toys and start to listen and pay attention in church." Any one of you and I could say that. To open that door and let Jesus in, we have to make a decision. We have to lay down our toys. Put aside our distractions. And pay attention. Let Jesus in. One of the reasons I really wanted to talk so much about the Holy Spirit today is because one of the things that was emphasized in my family, and I'm talking about me and Cindy, my girls, my boys, when we started meeting alone out there at first, there's no back row in church. There were six of us. Sometimes there was nine, because we'd go and we'd meet with Donna and Matt and Chad. Sometimes there was eight later on, because we were meeting with Jimmy and Kimmy from across the street. We had different phases of the time we were out there, but one of the things we learned, you know, like in the first 2 days we were there, is that you can't attend church. You can't attend church. You have to do it. When there's that few of you, you're all on the front row. You're all participating. And the neat thing is about it is that I grew to know my kids so much better than I did before because of the closeness we had. Because we were all eye-to-eye and face-to-face when we were in church. No way to hide, no way to rest, no way to sleep. Yes, we don't come to church just for some mark on an Excel spreadsheet. When we go to heaven, they don't open and count how many times you went to church. There's purpose. There's purpose. We meet together off for a purpose. The Holy Ghost, to really learn to pray for, even as they did in the ninth chapter of 3 Nephi, if you want to experience this pure love of God, this thing that partake of that fruit that's most joyous to your soul, it comes by the power of the Holy Ghost. If you want to partake of that, if you want to know the truth of all things, you need to understand the Holy Ghost. You need to welcome it. Ninth chapter, third book of Nephi, verse 10. This is kind of, you know, I'm always tempted to read too much when I read out of here, because it's when Jesus came on this land and they got to be face to face with him. It was a blessed time. Talks in this occasion that he had been there the day before and he performed miracles. And it said that the news went out abroad when he left that night. And there, people worked all night long so they could be there the next morning to be with him when because he said he was going to come back and spend more time with them. And I wonder what it would be like if that's how we came to church. With that degree of anticipation, with that degree of preparation, Even some that labored all night long so they in the morning they could be there to meet with Jesus. Verse 10, and when they had ministered those same words which Jesus had spoken, nothing varying from the words which Jesus had spoken, behold, they knelt again and prayed to the Father in the name of Jesus. And they did pray for that which they most desired. And they desired that the Holy Ghost should be given unto them. And that needs to be our desire, personally. And I think sometimes if I say this, it's going to be a confession. I'll say it. Sometimes you sit around and you talk and you find fault. You know, the Spirit would be so much stronger at church if. And by the way, that if is all about you guys. It couldn't possibly be me. Wish you'd straighten up so I could experience God's Spirit in a greater degree. It's not the truth, is it? Church is a collection of us. It is every one of us. But who do I have control over? Yeah, Amy pointed at herself. I have control over Amy. Yeah, I have control over myself. And that's what Jesus taught us. He taught us when he came, read the red letters. He was telling you what to do. He was telling you how to think. He was telling you what your attitude should be as you go about life, so that the Spirit would be there to dwell with you in a holy temple. I'd like to, because time's getting by, I'd like to talk a little bit about how the Holy Spirit has worked on a few occasions. And I thought I might pick one that maybe we don't talk about as much. Let's go over to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Talk about when things aren't so good. Matthew, the 10th chapter, and I'm going to the 16th verse. It says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of man, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye should speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. And I was going to read through the 20th. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And I think, you know, this is an individual example, but it's so much like it was for Gideon. When they deliver you up to these judgments and these to be scourged and so forth, he says, you know, leave the army at home. Take no thought where you should speak, for in that hour I'll give you what to speak, and it'll be I that speak and not you. And turn over to Mark, because it says it just a little differently. Mark 13. And I'm going to read 9 through 13. It says, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to the councils and in the synagogues. Ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, Take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son. The children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated above all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So that's, you know, examples of how the Holy Spirit helps you in the moment that you need it. And the reason I wanted to emphasize that example is because, you know, I really haven't counted how many people are here tonight. And I'm preaching a sermon to this number of people. How many people do you think I will come in contact with this week? It's probably more. All the people I'm going to see at work. And I even mean the people I'm going to drive around. I pay attention a lot when I drive. And people reveal a lot about their personality when they drive. What do you reveal when you drive? What do you reveal when you work? When you go to school? What is it people see? That's the sermon that people believe the most. And it's in that hour that you speak. Without preparation, you're faced with life moment by moment. That's the reason it said, feast upon the words of Christ. That's the reason that it references many times, walk in the Spirit. So that you're showing the sermon to people. That you're being an example. And shout it. And if you have to, use words. But that's the reason I wanted to give that example. Let's go over now to 2 Corinthians. Tenth chapter. Starting with the first verse, I'm going to read through verse 7. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is present, who in presence am based among you, but being absent, am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's. But I think so many times. My wife knows this of me. It's hard for me to be present so much of the time because I'm planning. I'm planning constantly. When I'm going to work the next day, I've pretty much lived out that day before I get there. I've planned everything I have to do that day and how I'm going to go about it. It's funny, the next day after I've been at work, I've rehearsed it all several times by the time I sleep that night. It's just something I do. But I'm not very good at being present right now. I'm always planning, thinking ahead, and I'm always looking in the past. And I believe that the power of the Holy Ghost, that association with God, being able to listen and look moment by moment, is the thing that helps you to live in the present, that helps you notice those that are around you. So many missed opportunities, I'm sure, because my mind's just not there, and I'm not looking. I'm not thinking about, you know, I'm a servant of God. Where am I and what am I doing? I hope that talking about me inspires some thought for you. I have all kinds of faults. I hope that some of this fits. Isaiah 55. I'm going to read verse 6 through 9. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And the blessing in all this is that when you're in prayer and when you're trying to walk in the Spirit, granted, you know, it's the thoughts of a man are not God's thoughts. They're different. But when you open up and you bring him in, you enjoy his thoughts. And he guides you in his ways. And that's not false. That's not hypocritical. It's real. You get to enjoy it. You get to be there for it and live a different kind of life. As Aiden and I talked about, being born again. That's the thing that getting baptized is about. Being born again. Repenting. Being cleansed of all your sin. Going down into the water with Jesus. And coming up a new creature. And being wrought upon by the power of the Holy Ghost as an abiding comforter to dwell with you for the rest of your life. And I know for myself what it felt like when I came up out of the waters of baptism. And I loved that feeling of innocence and cleanness. I remember the voices of the people as they sang as I came up out of the water. And between then and now, so many times I've drifted away. Not in such an apparent way, but just caught up. Caught up with the cares of life, in distress, in despair. Not because of great iniquity, just I get busy. My mind gets on everything else. And I have to turn again and lay down my toys and start to pay attention again. Listen to the beckoning of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm about halfway through my sermon, so I'm going to have to find a way to leap through it a little faster. There is an instance I'd like to read to you about, and it's out of Helaman. And it's something that happened with Nephi and Lehi, Helaman's sons. And this is the second chapter of Helaman. It's on 558 on my Book of Mormon. I'm going to start reading with verse 82. Verse 82, second chapter of the book of Helaman. It came to pass that Nephi and Lehi did proceed from thence to go into the land of Nephi. And it came to pass that they were taken by an army of the Lamanites and cast into prison. Yea, even in that same prison in which Ammon and his brethren were cast by the servants of Limhi. And after they had been cast into prison many days without food, behold, they went forth into the prison to take them, that they might slay them. And it came to pass that Nephi and Lehi were encircled about as if by fire, even insomuch that they durst not lay their hands upon them for fear lest they should be burned. Nevertheless, Nephi and Lehi were not burned, and they were as standing in the midst of fire, and were not burned. And when they saw that they were encircled about with a pillar of fire, and that it burned them not, their hearts did take courage. For they saw that the Lamanites durst not lay their hands upon them, neither durst they come near unto them, but stood as if they were struck dumb with amazement. And it came to pass that Nephi and Lehi did stand forth and begin to speak unto them, saying, Fear not, for behold, it is God that hath shewn unto you this marvelous thing, in the which is shewn unto you that ye cannot lay your hands on us to slay us. And behold, when they had said these words, the earth shook exceedingly, and the walls of the prison did shake, as if they were about to tumble to the earth. But behold, they did not fall. And behold, they that were in the prison were Lamanites and Nephites, which were dissenters. And it came to pass that they were overshadowed with a cloud of darkness, and an awful, solemn fear came upon them. And it came to pass that there came a voice, as if it were above the cloud of darkness, saying, repent ye, and seek no more to destroy my servants, which I have sent unto you to declare good tidings. And it came to pass when they heard this voice, behold, that it was not a voice of thunder, neither was it a voice of a great tumultuous noise. But behold, it was a still voice of perfect mildness, as if it had been a whisper, and it did pierce even to the very soul. And notwithstanding the mildness of the voice, behold, the earth shook exceedingly, and the walls of the prison trembled again, as if it were about to tumble to the earth. And behold, the cloud of darkness which had overshadowed them did not disperse. And behold, the voice came again, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and seek no more to destroy my servants. And it came to pass that the earth shook again, and the walls trembled, and also again the third time the voice came and did speak unto them marvelous words, which cannot be uttered by man. And the walls did tremble again, and the earth shook as if it were about to divide asunder. And it came to pass that the Lamanites could not flee because of the cloud of darkness which did overshadow them. Yea, and also they were immovable because of the fear which did come upon them. Now there was one among them who was a Nephite by birth, who had once belonged to the church of God, but had dissented from them. And it came to pass that he turned him about, and behold, he saw through the cloud of darkness the faces of Nephi and Lehi. Behold, they did shine exceedingly, even as the faces of angels. And behold, that they did lift their eyes to heaven, and they were in the midst, as if talking or lifting their voices to some being which they beheld. And it came to pass that this man did cry upon the multitude, that they might turn and look. And behold, there was power given unto them, that they did turn and look, and they did behold the faces of Nephi and Lehi. And they said unto the man, behold, what doth all this mean? And they said unto this man, behold, what doth all these things mean? And who is it with whom these men do converse? Now the man's name was Aminadab. And Aminadab saith unto them, they do converse with the angels of God. And it came to pass that the Lamanites said unto him, what shall we do that this cloud of darkness may be removed from overshadowing us? And Aminadab saith unto them, ye must repent and cry unto the voice, even until ye should have faith in Christ, which was taught unto you by Alma and Amulek and Zizurum. And when ye shall do this, the cloud of darkness shall be removed from overshadowing you. And it came to pass that they did begin to cry unto the voice of him which had shook the earth. Yea, they did cry even until the cloud of darkness was dispersed. And it came to pass that when they cast their eyes about and saw that the cloud of darkness was dispersed from overshadowing them, and behold, they saw that they were encircled about, yea, every soul by a pillar of fire. And Nephi and Lehi were in the midst of them. Yea, they were encircled about. Yea, they were as if in the midst of a flaming fire. Yet it did harm them not, neither did it take hold upon the walls of the prison. And they were filled with that joy which is unspeakable and full of glory. And behold, the Holy Spirit of God did come down from heaven. It did enter into their hearts. And they were filled as if with fire. And they could speak forth marvelous words. And it came to pass that there came a voice unto them, yea, a pleasant voice, as if it were a whisper, saying, peace, peace be unto you, because of your faith in my well-beloved, which was from the foundation of the world. And now when they heard this, they cast up their eyes as if to behold from whence the voice came. And behold, they saw the heavens open, and the angels came down out of heaven and ministered unto them. And there were about 300 souls which saw and heard these things. And they were bid to go forth and marvel not, neither should they doubt. And it came to pass that they did go forth and did minister unto the people, declaring throughout all the regions round about all the things which they had heard and seen, insomuch that the more part of the Lamanites were convinced of them because of the greatness of the evidences which they had received. And as many as were convinced did lay down their weapons of war and also their hatred and the tradition of their fathers. And it came to pass that they did yield up unto the Nephites the lands of their possessions, And it came to pass that when the 62nd year of the reign of the judges had ended, all these things had happened, and the Lamanites had become the more part of them a righteous people, insomuch that the righteous that their righteousness did exceed that of the Lamanites because of their firmness and their steadfastness in the faith. For behold, there were many of the Nephites which had become hardened and impenitent and grossly wicked, insomuch that they did reject the word of God and all the preaching and prophesying which did come among them. Nevertheless, the people of the church did have great joy because of the conversation of the Lamanites, yea, because of the church of God, which had been established among them. And they did fellowship one with another, and did rejoice one with another, and did have great joy. And it came to pass that many of the Lamanites did come down into the land of Zarahemla, and did declare unto the people of the Nephites the manner of their conversation, of their manner of their conversion, and exhort them to faith and repentance. Yea, and many did preach with exceeding great power and authority unto the bringing down many of them into the depths of humility to be the humble followers of God and the Lamb. I don't know how you feel. I feel privileged, the life that I've been given, to be able to walk through this life knowing what the Holy Ghost is, knowing my Heavenly Father. I know a lot of people were very patient with me and taught me when I seemed not to pay attention. Until the day that I started to pay attention. I know my parents probably, a lot of their gray hair was from raising me. Even after I had accepted, I had times where I probably was pretty frustrating, even disrespectful. But I feel grateful. I feel privileged. This tells me to take courage. This tells me the power of God. One example of which I've just read one of these things that happened and how people were converted. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, he can have that large impact even today on someone who's just not known him before. I don't feel I've ever deserved the things that the Lord's given me. I feel indebted. If in doing my part and being a servant, some one person could feel the impact of the Holy Spirit and be converted and enter into this life of privilege, of joy unspeakable, to be able to partake of that pure love of God that's most joyous to the soul, that's my desire. And I feel like any of you I've spent time with have that same desire. But don't be discouraged. I think we live in a day of complete distraction. That this nation is distracted. And it means a lot that it's distracted. You'll hear all kinds of arguments, but integrity, godliness, morality means everything. It means everything in the leadership to a nation. It means everything in the leadership in a church. It means everything in the leadership of a family because it invites the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's where we need to get back to. And I believe the Lord has given us the privilege of responsibility to be a light into the world. That's the hope. That's the hope for a person. That's the hope for a family. That's the hope for a city, a nation. It's the hope for the world. The last thing I'd like to read, and believe me, I really am jumping through. I'm leaving out half my scriptures. But I really enjoyed studying for this. The last thing I'd like to read is out of the book of Alma. I'm on page 314, verse 27. It's chapter 3 of the book of Alma. And now behold, I ask you, my brethren of the church, have you spiritually been born of God? Have you received His image in your countenances? And I wonder what the faces of Nephi and Lehi, Helaman's son, looked like as they conversed with God, with the angels, as they could see them through that mist. What did their faces look like? Have you received His image in your countenances? Have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of Him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption, to stand before God, to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body? I say unto you, can you imagine to yourselves that you hear the voice of God saying unto you in that day, come unto me, ye blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth. Thank you. Pray for me and I'll pray for you.